right in. Pull up a chair and get ready to play. It's time to join your friends at The Gaming Gang. This week, we'll introduce ourselves and tell you what the show is all about. Plus, we'll review The Adventurers from AEG and Roadkill Rally from Z-Man Games, and a whole lot more. And now, here's your hosts, Jeff McAleer and Elliot Miller.
Hi, I'm Jeff McAleer.
And I'm Elliot Miller.
And welcome to our show. This is actually, I guess we're going to call this what, episode zero?
Episode zero.
Of The Gaming Gang?
We could start at -1, maybe.
We could. Just end the show right now. And then basically we'll just say, okay, well, you know, come on and listen to our podcast. We did want to take a little time to begin today by sharing a little inside information about ourselves, give you a quick bio so you know who we are. Elliot, take it away.
So, as Jeff said, and you've heard already, my name is Elliot Miller. I'm from Chicago. Been there my whole life. I'm 43.
Oh, my God, you're old.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. And I'm feeling it, too. 5 kids. I've got kids ranging in age from 24 to the tender age of almost 40.
-1.
I've been involved in gaming most of my life, probably since before birth, but mostly got involved in high school with Jeff, of course. I'm interested in all types of games, war games, miniatures, board games, role-playing games, video games. I don't get, of course, as much time to play everything as I did in high school, but I love it the same. My favorite types of games, I would have to say, are thematic, very thematic games, especially of the sci-fi or fantasy and horror type games. Really? That's about it? What about you, Jeff?
That's it?
You know, that's all I got.
That's your whole story?
Well, yeah. That's me in a nutshell. How do I get out of this nutshell?
Well, for one, you stop using terms like sci-fi.
What?
Yeah, everybody hates that term. Didn't you know that?
No, nobody called me and told me.
See, there was a memo that everyone got. This is probably about 5 years ago, that it's either science fiction or SF. So now you've been warned. Once again, my name is Jeff McAleer, and as Elliot pointed out, we've been best friends since freshman year of high school. I believe it was probably the second day of high school that we actually met. I'm also 43, but I don't feel as old as Elliot no doubt does. So
of course,
that's,
you look a lot older.
Bonus right there. I know. I know. I think it's the lazy eye.
Right.
I think that has something to do with it, plus the hunchback. You know, adds a couple of years, too. But as far as my experience, I've been playing games probably since I was about 12, began with Dungeons & Dragons at the time.
My God, man.
Yes, I know. I know. The shame. Oh, the shame. No, I'm kidding. Nothing wrong with Dungeons & Dragons, folks. You know, Wizards of the Coast people who might actually listen to this at some point in time. Fine product. Fourth edition rules sound like they're effectively just World of Warcraft on your tabletop. Not too hot right there. But
hey, World of Warcraft's a lot of fun. Yeah, unfortunately, I can't afford it, but
got to crack open the penny jar so I can pay for my WoW account this month. Hold on, hang on there. 38, 40. But I've spent most of my time playing board games, role-playing games. Ran a Call of Cthulhu campaign for, gosh, about 15 years. With Elliot and some of our other friends and a couple of Elliot's relatives. And
a lot of fun it was.
Yes, it was. Unfortunately, we can't do that any longer, seeing I live in Mesa, Arizona. Well, Elliot's still in the Chicagoland area.
Mesa, you told me you were in Vegas. What the heck is going on?
Yeah, well, since I've moved to Vegas, yeah, okay. But as far as, like, my background, a lot of war games. A lot of Avalon Hill, SPI, Victory Games, things like that, as well as, you know, I've gotten more into the Euro games. I'm not a snob. I am a grognard at heart, so I'm not afraid of rule 30.4.7.9-2. But really am looking forward to doing the podcast with Elliot, having a little fun, doing some reviews. We're going to have some contributors who are going to be adding to the podcast as well. We do have James Englehart, who is a contributor to the website as well right now. He'll be contributing to the podcast in the future as well. So we want to give you a lot of different opinions, different looks at what's going on in the world of gaming, not only just now, but in the past with some of our gaming classics and thoughts on gaming pieces that we do, but also the future. How are we going to grow the hobby itself, bring more people in? And we have a few ideas as far as that goes. We have a few people that we'll be interviewing as well who are in the industry or have their own websites as well. So look forward to that in the future. But effectively, the podcast is mainly Elliot and myself.
It's true.
So, yes. Unfortunately, that would
be
true.
So you're stuck with us.
You're stuck with us, yes. But enough rambling on about myself. Right. Elliot, what have you been playing lately with your family and your gaming connection or your very own gaming gang, I like to say?
Well, to tell you the truth, I haven't been able to get to the table very much. But as of the day of this podcast, I will be doing some gaming, which I'm looking forward to. You know, it's football time. We're going to get in some pizza box football. I'm also hoping to get in my first game of Twilight Struggle ever, which I am excited about.
Shame. Shame on you.
First game ever.
Shame. Hang your head, sir.
You know, one thing I really like about the game is just from the...
How do you know? You don't know anything about
the
game except the rules.
And the components, yeah. And I've read the rules.
You know what I really like the red color on the box.
That's the red
nice.
Is
it's
very
bright.
Cool, along with the gray. No, the box, it reminds me of the
Wasn't
war
that
game.
The Civil War? The red and the gray fighting out?
The Russians against the South. Yes, I remember that.
That's right. Confederates and the commies. Yes, that's right. Okay.
Is that the game reminds me a lot of some of the old war games. Just the style of it. I mean, it does have the rules like the 2.1.2.
Because it has counters?
It has counters. You know, the box is all like, you know, the three-color box. So I'm really looking forward to it. We'll have more on that later.
Well, I can guarantee you're definitely going to enjoy it. As far as the game itself, sure, yes. It has a look to it of a traditional war game. Just, you know, if you're glancing at the components and everything, GMT's done a wonderful job, really great components, especially the deluxe edition that's available now. The gameplay itself flows really nicely, and the element of having the event cards really does break it up and make it different than what people would normally associate as like an SSI game or SPI game or even Avalon Hill, although Avalon Hill did break out into things that just weren't only, you know, squad leader type war games. So I know you're going to really enjoy it. And I know your son is going to beat you at it.
Well, he tends to. I have hit the age where my children can now beat me at games.
And in other ways, too. They usually
physically beat me.
Right.
Especially the four-year-old.
I've seen it. And she was three at the time. And it was scary. It was really, really frightening.
Da, 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 da. So what have you been playing?
Just with myself.
Yes.
No, I meant solo. No, I'm kidding. Quite a few things. We did have our gaming group get together a week ago last Saturday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, we do it every 2 weeks because, honestly, with the website and work and everything else, I just don't have time to organize something. And we do play in public. We actually go to a restaurant pub that's not far from where I live. I'm real big on playing in public.
Hey, how did you set that up with them? I mean, did you talk to them about it beforehand, or?
I threatened them, actually.
I mean, with the pub, you know, did you have to let them know you're coming in to play some games, or?
Oh, no, I walked in and I told them I was with the local mob. No, I'm serious. Well, that's what I said. I threatened them.
Excellent, excellent. After they handed you a bag of cash.
I did. Yes, exactly. And I went and bought games with it, so that was pretty sweet. I did talk to them beforehand, yes. I had gone in the area because back in Chicago, for folks who, you know, who may not have spent much time in Chicago or, like, you know, if you live out west, back east, you've got a lot of mom and pop kind of restaurants, bars, things like that. You know, you'll see people get together and they'll play cards or they'll play dice games and things like that. And out here, at least in the Phoenix Valley, you find that most of the restaurants, most of the I wouldn't say pubs, but like restaurants that have a bar, because I enjoy a nice cold adult beverage while I'm playing.
Right.
It, you know, it's a way to unwind after a long, you know, work week, right?
I mean, you drink beer naked? Is that a cold adult beverage?
Well, are you talking about do I drink beer naked at home?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kind of curious. And I'm sort of wondering why you'd be that interested in how I drink my beer, clothed or unclothed.
The people have a right to know.
That's right. They do. That's due. That's a fair disclosure. I understand that. Okay. Yes, I have drank beer naked before, but not in public. Well, there were other people around, but I wasn't in a public place.
Right. At least that you remember.
No, well, after that, yeah. After the blackout, I don't know. After the blackouts, I don't know what goes on. I just wake up the next day, and thankfully I have all my internal organs. Nobody's opened me up and put me in a bathtub of ice.
So you went and talked to him?
Yeah, so I went and looked around in the area. Because like I said, it's very few and far between that you're going to find a restaurant pub in the East Valley is where I'm at. That, number one, doesn't have karaoke on a Saturday night. And Saturday nights is really the only time that I can, you know, due to my work schedule, really put something together for a gaming group. And, you know, there's a Thursday night group out here that I've played with and, you know, worked to put together, which I'm kind of backing off of now. I'm not going to get into a whole lot of details. So anyway, so I start off this new Saturday group. I'm looking around at different places that we might be able to hold it. And, you know, there's a lot of things you have to take into account. Like I said, Saturday nights is big out here at bars where it's, you know, karaoke or a live band or something like that. So you have to try to find a place that doesn't have that. And then you also have to look at, okay, now how are they laid out? Is it all booths? Because, you know, if you have 20 people coming out, you know, you don't want to break everybody up into five different booths.
You need tables.
Right. You need tables. And then you have to, you know, the tables have to be a decent enough size that you could
pull out
a game that. Right. No, you're right. Or a game like that. I don't think, as far as a public gaming group, that you would probably bust out Arkham Horror just because of the time constraints.
And you can't get the same atmosphere in a public place.
No, because you can't, you know, sacrifice small animals and things like that while you're playing in a public place.
Now, we do our own spells, actually, during the game, so it does help to be at home.
For the atmosphere. It's all about atmosphere. Well, that's how H.P. Lovecraft's stories were. It's all about atmosphere, because it sure isn't about the writing.
Hey!
No, well, you know what I mean. A little too flowery language.
Yes, he's the best. Best 20th century writer from the 17th century.
Correct. That is true. Especially in the horror genre. So as I said, you have to make sure that, you know, the place is well lit. It doesn't have to be, you know, glaringly bright, but it has to be well lit so, you know, you're playing a game, you can see what's going on. Plus, when, you know, you contact the owner or the manager or whoever, you want to present it as, you're not getting together people in costumes playing Dungeons and Dragons. Once again, I'm not knocking role-playing whatsoever, but that tends to be kind of the mindset that people will have when you tell them that you're going to be playing games.
Right. Plus, you don't go in and order a glass of water.
Not when you go meet the owner, and not when you show up for a public group, a public gathering that's at a place of business. You're right, yes. So, and I didn't want to do like a Denny's or, you know, IHOP or something like that, because to me, that's not gaming in public. That is commandeering a section of the restaurant that's off to the side, off to the back, where you can have the people who show up who only order water and then sit for six hours and play. That's that crowd. Wasn't shooting for that. Actually, it was pretty interesting. I walked in, talked to the owner, talked to him for about an hour.
Really?
And talked to him. Yeah. It's me. Come on. And it was really nice. And he said, you know, I explained to him, you know, it's going to take some time to get off the ground. But, you know, we're going to end up bringing in 20, 30 people every couple of weeks, because that's usually how it's going to, you know, pan out. And he was more than willing to make concessions for us, you know, as far as, you know, making sure that we've got, you know, table space. And once we, you know, once we get good 30, maybe 40 people coming out, he's going to run specials for us and cool. everything else.
Rename the restaurant.
Rename it, yes, to the Gaming Gang, right? Gaming Gang East Valley. I think that'll be good. That'll be our first location there. Yes, where gamers are welcome. So actually, the get-together was pretty nice. I had a pretty good turnout. We had quite a few people who had never played games before. Their game knowledge or background was like Monopoly or Stratego or the Game of Life, unfortunately. Yes. The unwashed, ignorant masses. No, I don't want to say that. But no, people who were interested in the hobby, learning more about it. So I did break out Forbidden Island, which for those of you who are big Pandemic fans, it's kind of Pandemic Light from the same designer as well. Played a couple of games of that. I didn't play myself personally because I was doing the host thing, just, you know, kind of welcoming people in, making sure people felt comfortable, you know, kind of chatting about games and such. They did play 2 6-player games of Forbidden Island. They lost the first and then won the second, although they came awfully close to losing again. Interesting thing about Forbidden Island, and there were a couple of people who really do enjoy Pandemic, especially with the On the Brink expansion, just wasn't big. It just didn't go over all that well. I think they wanted to play it. Yeah, I think they wanted to play the second game mainly to see if they could beat it. But afterwards, I would say the split was probably 4-2, 4-2, relatively positive. And I reserved my own judgment. Yeah, I figured, wasn't going to share my
Well, you know, the first time we played it, I mean, it was kind of
Pandemic.
Yeah, Pandemic. It was kind of
Right.
But, you know, I played it again later, you know, with another group, and it was just family. And we actually had a really good time. So now I want to get the expansion and see how that works out. I'm interested in the new viruses and especially the petri dishes that come with it.
Right.
And
which you could go to your local medical supply store and get for about a dime each.
Right.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Well, unlike many, I don't keep track of my local medical supply stores.
So. See, those of us with certain issues, you know, we have to keep a steady supply of syringes. Right. So,
but so I, you know, I actually enjoyed it. So my opinion's gone up for Pandemic quite a bit. I know you're still not enthralled with it, but
I was leaving it alone. I wasn't going
like
there.
Pandemic.
I was not going to say anything. I don't. I like to play a game. I don't like a game to play me. Forbidden Island, you know, as a gateway game, it's interesting. To utilize that simply because it's not the traditional roll the dice move, you know. It wasn't like anybody hated the game. They just were kind of like, nah. If you recall, I did review it on the site, and I think I gave it a 6. And I said that if people were big Pandemic fans, they'd probably give it maybe like a 7 or an 8.
Well, I'm still going to pick it up and give it a shot.
Oh, I've been told that the On the Brink expansion just completely changes the whole dynamic of the game. So it really brings a lot more to it. I talked to people who said that they will not play the original Pandemic. They will only play with On the Brink. It's very possible I have the opportunity to play that. I'm sure I'll probably like it more. It just didn't grab me. I don't think it was the theme. I know it wasn't really the mechanic, because I really enjoy Defenders of the Realm from Eagle Games. I really like that game. In fact, I'm basically saying that it could be one of those kind of Game of the Year contenders in 2011. Like I said, Forbidden Island is really Pandemic light, and I mean real light. So maybe it just didn't offer enough challenge. And I think some of the people there just didn't understand the concept of, hey, we're cooperating here, so if one of us drowns, we all lose. Yeah. I think there was like one person there who just, it's a game, so it's competition. It's a game. Yeah. It's competition.
You know, the co-op thing, it's been around for a while, but it's really started taking hold the past, you know, couple of years.
Well, what I mean is that as far as like cooperative games, and I have nothing against cooperative games whatsoever. People play whatever they want to play. I think that it is kind of creating a mindset with some gamers and probably newer gamers. If you play a game, now I'll give you a great example. Recently posted a review of Tammany Hall from Stratamax Games and really love it. I think, honestly, it's fallen under the radar and it really shouldn't have. But you have to keep in mind that game is everybody's playing a politician. And everybody's trying to, you know, win the game. They're not necessarily trying to be mayor, but they're trying to get the victory points and and things like that. And the way to do that is you have to actually compete with the other players, and you have to confront them with different actions that you take on. I think because there is starting to focus more and more co-op games, it creates a mindset where, and you even posted a piece yourself on the website here about, you know, hurt feelings playing games, yeah, that, you know, we can't play a game where I have to beat you, to defeat you in the game on the tabletop without somebody getting upset about it.
Some games, some people are like that. It really depends on the people that you're playing with sometimes.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And a lot of times, in all honesty, we play games with, you know, who we have available, who's interested in playing, and not everyone can have the mindset, you know, it's just the game.
It's true.
You didn't knock me out of the game because you hate me. You knocked me out of the game because that's the way the game works. So I just was throwing a quick comment out there. Oh, I did want to throw out a quick disclaimer as well. I was kidding earlier about having like a lazy eye and a hunchback. Certainly did not mean anything against people out there who may be afflicted with those conditions. So I just want to, you know, nip those emails in the bud right there.
Okay.
So enough of my rambling. I know we were talking earlier and you had mentioned that there was a show you were watching that kind of inspired you gaming-wise, I believe.
Yeah, you know, there's this show. It's on the History Channel. It's called Chasing Mummies.
Right.
Right.
So there was something history related on the History Channel. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yes. That didn't have to do with Nazis.
Or
believe it
ice
or not.
Road trucking.
Yes. Or swamp people. So it's a show called Chasing Mummies, and it's about this Egyptologist, Dr. Zahi.
Seriously? I love that guy.
Yes. No, he is like the most famous Egyptologist in the world. I saw this one show where he was taking the president around the pyramids and talking to him. I mean, and he does all these like
benefits. He was talking to the pyramids?
Yeah. He has on occasion. He's a very unique character. He's one of those really hard dudes to get along
with.
He's a hard
customer. Dr. Zahawi, he's a hard customer, hard man.
Dr. Hawass.
I'm sorry. I thought he was like a musician or something that does like children's. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's Dr. Yanni, Hawass. Isn't it? Go ahead. Sorry.
So watching the show, I mean, he's constantly discovering new things in Egypt because everything's buried under the sand. And, you know, it's almost like a reality show because he's got these fellowship students that are along for the ride and he's constantly firing them, or they have nervous breakdowns or whatever, and they get attacked by cobras and scorpions, and it's really entertaining, and it got me into Egypt, pyramids, exploring, adventuring, you know, mindset again. So, you know, I was looking around for something, you know, to play to help inspire that. You know, I've got stuff like Archaeology, the card game, and, you know, there's a few games like Fluk der Mumie.
Hey, this is a family show. Hold on there.
Hey, Fluk der Mumie.
Hold on there a minute, Bob Louie.
Yeah, that's a game by Ravensburger. It's called Pyramid in English. And it's got this vertical board and it's magnetic. And one side is like the mummy and the other side is the players. You know, it looks entertaining. Good game for the kids. Haven't played it yet. But the one game I did have now, although it's not ancient Egypt, it is a pyramid. It's called The Adventurers. You know, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard of it. Maybe some people haven't.
I have. It's AEG, right?
Yes, it's an AEG game. It's for ages 10 or more, although it could be played by younger players easily. Games like 45 to 60 minutes, 2 to 6 players, designed by Frederick Henry and Giuliani Blasé. I really enjoyed this game. It's a game where you're exploring through the Temple of Chuck. He's a Mayan rain god. Chuck, yeah, the Temple of Chuck Norris. You're basically robbing it of its treasures. Each player starts with 2 adventurers because one is not enough. You bring your one adventurer into the game and, you know, halfway through, they're falling into a pit of lava, and then you got to bring in adventurer number 2. First game I played, you know, both my dudes got killed because I got money hungry. So you learn how not to get money
hungry. Greed is a bad thing.
Yeah, you got to balance it. The components of the game are really cool. It comes with a miniature boulder that is chasing you throughout the game. It's got like miniature walls that you move closer and closer to squish the lingering adventurers. It's got a little bridge with removable planks that collapse as you walk across it. I mean, the artwork is very cool.
It comes with miniatures too, right?
Yeah, it's got 12 plastic miniatures. I wish they were painted. They're not. They're the typical gray. I guess you can pick up or will be able to pick up or can't pick up anymore. They had a set of painted miniatures.
So which is it? You can, you can't, know. You may?
I don't know. I haven't been able to find out. I've looked. They say coming, and then, but it was from 2009. Okay. So.
Well, you could always paint them yourself.
Right. Which I've never been able to successfully
do. Ah, that's right.
Do.
You've never really painted miniatures. Okay.
And that is true. So, but they are pretty detailed and pretty cool. You got to kind of look at each one, though, to figure out what card goes with which one. You got to see, you know, which what this person is carrying, and then look at the card and say, oh, okay, this is this guy.
Well, don't the portraits on the cards match up with, like, the pose of the figure?
No, the poses are a little off. You do have to look at it, you know, spend 30 seconds or so figuring it out. It's no big deal.
How long did you say 30 seconds?
Yeah.
30 seconds is a long time to be staring at it.
I want to know instant gratification.
That's right. The only problem with that...
Like, oh, this one's...
The only
this
problem
one.
With instant gratification is it takes too long. That's from Carrie Fisher. I didn't make that one up. Sorry. I'm not taking credit for that.
So the basic premise of the game is you're going through this temple, and you're collecting treasures as you go through the temple. But meanwhile, the temple's trying to kill you. So you have to get through the temple and get out with as much treasure as you can. And the treasure is in the form of, like, cards that you draw. And each card has a different treasure worth X amount of points. Okay. But as you pick up more treasures, you also get less actions because, you know, you're getting heavier. Your backpack is getting pretty full there. Mm-hmm. So you get slower, and that can be deadly. So you got to balance what you're picking up against, like, getting rolled over by the boulder. The first section of the game is the squishing walls room.
Now, is that the official term in the rules, squishing walls?
Squishing walls. I don't recall, but, you know, I'm going to suggest that to him. The walls move in while you are going through the room, and you look for treasures in the alcoves. You can either go through and get out as fast as you can or grab a couple of treasures and hope you don't get squished by the walls. That's also when the giant boulder gets released, okay? And this giant boulder pursues you through the entire temple. And if it catches you, you know, you're toast.
So there's a lot of squishing going on.
There is much squishing.
Okay. Does the lava squish you?
No. The lava burns you.
Well, I wasn't sure.
And that's what's next. Next is the lava room. You can chance crossing the blocks floating on the lava and collect different treasure. But some of the blocks are booby-trapped, and they collapse under your feet, and you drop into the hot
and
lava.
And then you lose that adventure, right?
Okay. Exactly. You can skirt the whole lava room if you want. It's a longer path. You got to watch out for the boulder. But you also have a chance of picking up treasure along that path, too. The final part, you have to choose whether you're going to swim across this raging river or across this rickety bridge that spans the river. You can jump into the river, and there's also treasures in the river that you can try to get. But you got to be careful because you got to roll a certain number or you can get swept over the waterfall. There, you're toast again. The bridge can collapse and you fall into the deep chasm below and you're dead again. Now, and keep in mind that all the time this boulder is right behind you, especially if one of your adventurers gets killed and then you got to come in and you got to grab stuff as fast as you can and try to get to the exit. And usually near the end, it's like, okay, if I roll this, the boulder's going to squish me. But if I roll this, I'm out.
So a lot of luck.
Yeah, there is a lot of luck involved. I mean, you are rolling dice. There's some strategy as well. I mean, you can drop your treasures. You're deciding whether you're going to take this treasure or not take this treasure. So I felt more tension than just random luck. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you can really feel the tension build as you're going through the temple.
Time's running out, effectively.
Exactly. Once the boulder hits the end of the temple and blocks the exit, nobody else is getting out. Anyone still inside the temple is dead. So really, I give this game an 8 as a family game. Although I do think it should appeal to gamers of all ages. You know, it may bug the more serious gamers because of the luck aspect, but I really enjoyed it.
Is a lot of luck, a lot of dice rolling, or just, you know, certain things, you know, you're rolling dice for?
Each adventurer, you roll at the beginning to see how many actions you're going to get that turn. Like, and there's only one dice roll to find out how many actions you're going to get. And it's based on how much weight you're carrying,
okay.
You know? So this person may get 2 actions. This person may get 4. It all depends on how much they're carrying on their back. You're also rolling for like the boulder, how many spaces that's going to move. And that's a big thing. And sometimes in certain areas, you have to roll to see if you can get this treasure. Other than that, it's mostly you deciding where you're going to go and how much you're going to carry.
So you would say, I mean, it's overall, it's a solid buy. You're giving it an 8 for people who don't mind a bit of luck in their game, which I personally don't. I mean, there's a lot of luck in life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But as far as, you know, you're saying it's an 8 for family gamers, what would you say for your average non-family gamer like myself who, you know, I don't have children to play with?
I would still give it a 7.
A 7? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a solid buy. It's a good game.
Yeah, it's a good game.
I do have to ask you one last question, but it's more about, you were talking about that TV show.
Yeah.
Did President Obama get a mummy? Did that professor give him a mummy when he, you know, because that's what they...
He gave them the special buy one, get one free.
Mummy?
Right.
Well, I'm...
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, because, you know, usually a visiting head of state, you know, somebody gives him a gift of some sort. I thought, well, you know, wouldn't it be appropriate for him to give him a mummy?
Here, take a mummy.
You know, goes in the White House.
You know, it's pretty interesting because actually he makes big moves towards getting stuff back to Egypt. He's saying that most of the artifacts that are like in different museums are all stolen,
oh,
which in effect is true.
Yeah, they were. They were.
And he's trying to get a lot of them back in Egypt. They're really, you should see all the stuff that they're building there. They're really trying to make it a huge tourist area for people interested in history. It looks very cool.
Like, is it Mummy Land?
Mummy Land, exactly. Whee! I want to go to Mummy Land.
I believe, if I remember correctly, like the Valley of the Kings is kind of like a big tourist trap kind of thing now.
Yeah. I mean, there were hundreds of tourists all over the place. Well, thousands go every year.
Of course, right.
Which, you know, I would like to go,
sure,
tell you the truth.
Well, I think anyone
would. Please send donations.
Yes, right. Yeah. Yes, please send any monetary donations in care of Elliot Miller's Mummy Fund.
Help me find my mummy. That's what I'm going to call it. They, you know, for example, they've uncovered something called the Avenue of the Sphinxes.
Hey, hey, hey. I told you before, this is a family show.
So there's like these miniature sphinxes.
For your own home.
Like 1,350 of them that they're trying to reconstruct the street because they're lining like the whole street. It's very cool looking.
Right.
It was pretty exciting.
Very cool. Here's hoping that in the future you do get that opportunity to go to the Middle East because I know you've talked about it before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. So you were going to talk about Roadkill Rally?
Well, not anymore. I mean, you took up all that time with the adventurers. So, yeah. So I guess we should probably move on to the end of the show now. No. I was. You know, it was kind of interesting because I was over on Board Game Geek. I wish I had more time to invest in visiting Board Game Geek. I'll be the first one to admit that. Unfortunately, because of work and doing the website, trying to work behind the scenes, which you and I do with a lot of the different game companies out there,
yeah,
I don't have as much time as I probably should invest. I recently ran across a post, and I believe this has probably been posted a few different times in, you know, various formats, talking about what's appropriate for a subject or a theme for a game and what's not. To me, it's sort of, you know, everybody has that hot button that can be pushed that you'll be like, whoa, wait a second, it's not a line we cross. In reality, I think Roadkill Rally a little bit is one of those kind of games. Now, I'm a big fan of Z-Man games.
Yeah.
And I really, really do enjoy Roadkill Rally. But you have to think, some people just aren't going to dig the theme. It's not going to appeal to everybody. Effectively, what it is, the game is set in 2040. To compete for ratings, ruthless TV networks arrange these things they call Roadkill Rallies. Now, if you're familiar with the movie Death Race 2000... Not that recent lousy version of it, but the original 1975 Roger Corman film. Probably one of the better exploitation flicks to come out of the mid-70s. And really, really is very satirical, if people remember that time.
Yeah.
Of what it is, it's a race. Of course, it's a road race. But you're also looking at that, effectively, they're races to the death. Fortunately for the spectators, most of them are often victims and go towards scoring points to win the game. So if the thought of running over people, including little kids bouncing basketballs and little old ladies with walkers, doesn't appeal to you or offends you, I'm going to tell you right up front, do not buy this game.
Well, of course, now, running over children with basketballs and old ladies doesn't appeal to a lot of people.
Oh, it
just the ability to play a game without being offended, I think.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I think the appeal of running over a kid pounding away, bouncing a basketball for hours next door, yeah, probably does enter people's minds more often than you might think. But yes, of course, in the scope of a game, somebody would be really shocked and offended that, you know, this little tiny green miniature represents person and you're actively trying to end their life so you can score some additional points. If that freaks people out, then yeah, so like I'm saying, you would not want to buy this. Now, I happen to be a big fan of Z-Man games, and what I've come to expect are the components are always really good. Now, the game, you've got thick stock card for tracking information about your car, the race tiles, which actually make up the racetrack. Well, it's not a racetrack, but the road itself, different counters for scoring. You get little plastic pedestrians, as well as everybody has a little miniature car. They're not little tokens. They are actual little figures and little miniature cars. You'll get a set of very unique dice, and you get two decks of cards. And I know this is a big thing for a lot of people out there. It does come with baggies for all the stuff. I know some people get very upset when they buy a game and it has a lot of counters, a lot of pieces, and there's nothing in there to separate them. I don't know why. I'm just mentioning this. Now, at the beginning of the game, you have the starting line as well as you have a stack of shuffled race tiles. So nobody knows exactly how the setup of the race is going to be. So everybody gets 7 rally cards and 8 accessory cards. But there's also an optional rule where every player gets a special skill card for their driver that gives them a special ability. Now, the rally cards, that you use them during the game for your actions and for ammunition for your guns, because remember, this is a race to the death.
Yeah.
Now, the accessory cards you use to modify your car into a death machine. Each player gets 3 specific cards. They're different colors that they can utilize to modify their car. One is weapons, one's special ammo, another is like armor or special modification to the body.
So it's like a lighter version of Car Wars?
Yes. Faster playing version too. Plus there's actually, and I'm not knocking Car Wars. Love the game from when it came out, but you could play for 3 hours, and if you broke it down into the actual scale, would have been about 40 seconds and you probably drove about 30 feet.
Right.
You know, so there wasn't a lot of, you know, wow, we're like flying around. And this has really, it gives a really good sense of there is a race going on. Now, the accessory cards are really cool because they have some really wild different things that you can stock your car with. And the nice thing is you can pit stop, and there is a specific road tile that allows everyone to get a free pit, and you can swap out your accessory card. Maybe the anti-tank gun is going to be a better fit for what's going on right now than the flamethrower with your napalm ammo. So there's a lot of combinations. There's a lot of opportunities, too, to reconfigure your car during the race. Now, the rally cards, that allows you a lot of fast effects that players can use throughout the game. So it can give you additional dice of damage. It can protect you from damage or, you know, cause some relatively nasty things to happen to your opponent. The rally cards also have the ammo symbols, which you have to discard when you fire a weapon because each weapon takes so much ammo.
Yeah.
When you start up the game, you know, you set it up, you've got the starting road tile, you choose a starting order, and then you begin the race. Every turn, you draw additional rally cards. If you have less than 5, you set your speed, and you move, and then you conduct any combat. Every player, starting with the player who's in first place, performs each action before moving into the next action. So all the players draw cards, then all the players set speed, and so forth. So there isn't a ton of downtime, although when you do have 6 people playing, then you have a little more downtime than you probably would want, but like a 3-4 player game can move pretty quick.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the number of cards you have in your hand, it's pretty important. So when you take damage, you have to discard cards from your hand. Of course, that can be reduced by armor or special cards. At any time that you don't have any cards left that you discard as damage, you wipe out. So you crash. You're not out of the game, But you do lose 20 victory points, and 20 victory points is a big deal in this game. And you immediately slow down to 20 miles an hour. So you never die in the game, although there is an optional rule that if you wipe out three times, you are out.
Yeah.
As far as, like, you set your speed, you can accelerate or decelerate, you know, there's certain limits. And similar to Formula D, you incur, like, a higher risk to your car the faster you're going when you go around turns. So, you know, people can wipe out because they're going too fast around a sharp curve. Plus, being the leader sometimes isn't the greatest thing to be because you have to hit, like, the last space on the road tile before you take the new road tile out. So if you're really punching the pedal to the metal, and all of a sudden you have this really nasty curve coming up, your next turn might be kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
The dice that come with it, they're not regular dice. So they have three blank sides. They have two, one splat, which is like kind of like a splatter of blood on two of the sides, and then a double splat side. And each splat means it's a hit to your car or against a target. If you roll the double splat, you get to roll another die. So that can cause even more damage. Every tile, too, has, like, random effects, so it's pretty funny. So you've got, there's a tile, there's a forest fire, so there's smoke covering the road, so nobody can be attacked who's in that smoke. There's farm tile that has a giant chicken trying to cross the road. And the tiles, because they're drawn randomly, the course is always different every game. There is a rumor that there are going to be some expansions coming out to the game. No doubt they would probably have more road tiles. So after you move, you fire your weapons. You can fire weapons at, you know, other players. Usually being the person in the lead isn't exactly the best spot to be early on because everybody's gunning for the leader.
Or you can fire at yourself, you know, if you're racked with guilt.
Right, right. But usually you have to run over a few pedestrians before you get to that point. And that's where you'll find the different road tiles. They'll have little targets that you know, this is where you put the pedestrians. And like I said, you know, you have little old ladies crossing the streets, kids playing basketball, and some unfortunate bloke who happens to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right.
So if you enter a space that has a pedestrian, you get to roll to attempt to run them over. And you have accessories and stuff like that that'll help you too. You have to score two splats. If you do, you actually pick up the little figure and you put it on your tracking card because that'll track your victory points. So it's called the kill section of your car card.
Nice.
So, and then in combat, during the combat phase, if you have a line of sight to the pedestrian, you can, you know, shoot a weapon at them as well. As far as the game finishing up, it ends when the first three players cross the finish line. If you have a six-player game, you don't have to wait until players five and six battle it out for last place. You get bonuses, of course, for finishing higher in the race. And then you get your points for, you know, hits to your opponents, you know, every time you did damage to them, and, of course, for the pedestrians that you've killed. And then every time you've wiped out, you have to subtract those 20 points. So, like I said, you know, if you keep wiping out all the time, that can really, you know, you could win the race and still lose the game very easily. So, of course, the high score wins.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the theme, I got to be honest, I mean, it's going to appeal to you or it isn't. If you could sit there and watch Death Race 2000 and kind of chuckle, knowing as goofy as the movie is and as goofy as this game is, then you're going to like it. The player has to be the judge of that.
I got to admit, I mean, it sounds like a lot of fun. I think I would, you know, enjoy playing it, but don't think I'd be bringing it out for the family.
Oh, no, no. And that's the thing, too. The game itself as a game, if we take the pedestrian aspect out, if we said it was just targets you had to hit, you had to score targets, let's say they were dummies, whatever, then I think people would be lining up to play it because there's just an endless combination of, you know, the different weapons you can use, and cards are really funny, a lot of them, and the artwork's pretty funny too. So it has a really, very light kind of satirical goofiness to it. You would have to see it. You'd have to see the components. You'd have to play as well. But as I mentioned, some people just are not going to dig the theme.
So what do you give this game?
Oh, I don't believe in giving numerical values to
to anything,
to games. No, it's like the Oscars. You know, we're all just here to, you know, to represent the industry. Honestly, I would give it, myself personally, I give it an 8.5 because I see the humor in it and I see it's a game. It doesn't mean anything. It's a little plastic piece sitting there. And
it's not sending you into therapy.
Right. I mean, you think of it this way. I remember back in the day, even before Car Wars came out, I remember when Car Wars came out from Steve Jackson Games, one of the things they had mentioned was, you know, how many times are you stuck in traffic and you wish that you had little rocket launcher buttons on your steering wheel that you'd be like, you know, that guy who cut me off, shroom, boom. I mean, come on. Just about all of us have been in traffic at some point in time in our lives and wondered, boy, what would it be if I could blow that guy up for, you know, not that we ever would, but let's all be honest with ourselves here. So with the right people, it is an absolute blast to play. So I'm saying I'm giving it an 8.5, and I'm not going to give it like a lower score for certain types of people, because to be honest, other certain types of people will not want to play. They won't want to pick it up.
Exactly.
Probably not a game that I would bust out like in the middle of a restaurant or something like that. Maybe I would. I don't know. But like I said, the theme could be a turnoff for some people. For me, like I said, I saw the humor in it. And honestly, it's a good game. And that's what it is. It's a game. It's not a simulation of life or, you know, your own psychosis or anything like that.
Well, but 95% of video games are worse than what you're describing right now anyway.
So. Of course. Right. I haven't seen really a lot of people talking about, oh my God, you know, not, it's not like a lot of uproar like a game, say, War on Terror creates.
War on Terror.
Yeah. War on Terror, it's from Terrible Games.
Okay.
Terror Bull. So, Terror Bull. You know, that's interesting, too, because I ran across a post on The Geek. So it was a different post, but it was also kind of talking about, you know, how, oh, we have to stop publishing certain things. And it's kind of funny, because for some reason, the British media, or I should say more like British tabloid media, is real quick to point out, you know, just things about gamers and games out there that effectively are wrong, because their information is wrong. I'll give you a great example. I don't know if you heard about, there was a woman in England who was arrested, being prosecuted for neglecting her children because of all the time she was investing playing Small World.
Small World?
Yeah, Small World.
The board game Small World.
Well, see, that's the point. As I mentioned, the British press usually gets this stuff wrong. Yes, the article itself was saying Small World, and there was a picture of the game. There was a picture of something else. I forget what it was, but it was a game, but it was misidentified, so they were completely wrong there.
Leave me alone. I have to play Small World.
That's right. You heat up your own bottle. Don't you realize I'm playing the Pixies in this game? There's plenty of food in the house. There's the cat.
Right.
What it turned out was, it wasn't the board game Small World.
Okay.
It was an online community game, I believe somewhere along the lines of like Second Life, called Small Worlds, plural.
I see.
Aha. So, yes. So now it starts to come into place. The pieces fall into place. Because, I mean, you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. How in the world, I like Small World, it's a good game, but I wouldn't go without eating, let alone feeding someone else, because I was playing it. It's not like it's Avalon Hill's longest day, that was actually the longest day of gaming you would ever have.
Right. And what, is she sitting there playing it by herself, or is she like forcing her children to play, or bringing the neighbors over? No, you can't leave. We have to play Small World.
You want the mac and cheese? You're sitting down to play some Small World for 9 hours, and then it'll be bedtime. So, you know, there was a big outcry about that.
Yeah.
And in this post, somebody had mentioned there's the game War on Terror, which what it is you're a terrorist, what it boils down to. And everybody starts off, I'll be the first one to tell you that I have not played this game. It starts off, every player is like, you know, this is from my understanding. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't read the rules. Interestingly enough, there are a lot of people who really like the game. Noam Chomsky has commented about the game. Amnesty International has, given a thumbs up to the game. I didn't realize Amnesty International was made up of a bunch of gamers, but, you know, they've given it a thumbs up.
Huh.
Everybody, I guess, I think maybe one player starts off as a terrorist and everybody else represents empires. And, you know, you can do a lot of, you know, dirty dealing, you know, suicide bombers, stuff like that. Like I said, don't know a lot of specifics about the game. So I do apologize for even mentioning this without backing it up with knowledge of the game, but we're talking about theme here, so that's not super important. I guess effectively what happens is the terrorists bring down these empires, and as your empire falls due to the terrorists, you become a terrorist. So what it is, it's just creating more and more terrorists till finally at the end of the game, everyone's a terrorist.
Wow. It's like life. Is that where we're all headed?
I would hope not.
Well, yeah. Right.
I can see the political viewpoint. Yes, I get it. I understand.
Well, it's definitely
that.
Politically incorrect and would really offend quite a few people, I'm sure.
Well, and this is what I kind of found interesting about the post. I'm not looking to create some controversy here on episode zero, but there was a person who posted in this, you know, this forum, stating that they would never play that game. Because somebody mentioned it, talking about, well, you know, games that we shouldn't be publishing this or whatever. And they mentioned that game. And that person is more than entitled to their right to say what's on their mind. Got a right to an opinion. He just stated, you know, just wouldn't be my bag. You know, I'd be offended by this. You know, I don't really think that this is a theme that people should be playing. What I found very interesting was just the attacks this guy got. Some of them actually coming from representatives of the game company itself that produces the game. Yes. A lot of F-bombs dropped. To one part, I thought to myself, you know, and I'm not knocking any game companies out there, because you know what? You and I have never, we've, you know, designed our own kind of games and tweaked rules and, you know, did our own stuff. We've never published a game. We've never attempted to publish a game.
Yeah, that's right.
We couldn't possibly imagine what it takes to actually put out a successful, popular game that's selling, you know, half a million copies. But I think, not being a game company owner, I don't believe that the most effective PR would be to go in and verbally, well, no, I shouldn't say verbally, but personally attack somebody for a post on a forum on BoardGameGeek.
Well, no kidding. I mean, they had to have expected that it was going to cause some controversy. They have to know that people are going to be offended. And then to just start attacking those people, it seems ridiculous.
Honestly, I think the game has actually been out since about 2005.
Yeah.
So it's not as if this is a brand new game or anything like that. It's been around for a while. You're right. I mean, how could you possibly put together a game, call it War on Terror, put together the mechanics and the theme and structure of the game like it is, or at least like I believe it to be, and then be sitting there go, you know, gosh, I can't believe people aren't just lining up to play this, that everybody would be, you know, on my side. It's not, we're not talking about flower power here. We're not talking about, well, you know, you have a garden and everybody's got their little flower. Yeah. No, we're talking about, oh, hey, we're playing terrorists. I think there would be people who were deeply affected by September 11th here in the U.S. who would have a real issue, not just with the game, but anybody who would consider playing the game.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not saying it's not someone else's right to publish whatever game they want. By all means, feel free. If you think you have a market for it, then go on out there and publish your game. But for me, if I were a potential game designer, and I created a game which I called, and excuse my French, but I'm sure we're pretty much all adults here, the date rape game, I think I could expect to get flack for that.
Yeah, definitely.
And of course, I'm sure part of the whole thing is to create controversy, because of course, bad publicity,
sure, controversy is
never
publicity.
Bad.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So, but yeah, I just thought it was very, very strange. Like I said, I'll throw my hat in the ring. Being an American, I don't believe I would probably look to play the game.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I agree. They have the right to do it, but, you know, I wouldn't even try to play it.
I think I would play it as more as so I could honestly talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, in a knowledgeable, intelligent way, as opposed to, like, I've been doing, going, oh, well, you know, it's my understanding.
Yeah.
But no, as far as, you know, would I actively seek out this game to play it? No. No, I certainly would not.
Okay.
So there you have it. Already, we're about an hour into our show. We're already getting opinionated and probably making a few people mad out there.
Right. All so the terrorists I'll, listening.
Correct. Well, I'll get ready for the emails with the F-bombs from the... I'm not going to name the name again of the company. You can go back and listen to when I mentioned the name of the company. But I'll be on the lookout for the F-bomb-laced emails coming to my email box shortly.
All right. So that's bringing us close to the end of the show, I believe.
I believe so. I'll apologize if you thought we were pretty fast and loose on today's show. Simply, this is episode zero. We're still working on how we want to do a format. As I mentioned, we've got contributors coming on. We don't know if we want to do a specific theme.
Right, and this is our first podcast.
Right, exactly. As we wind up the show, I know you and I were talking about having a bit of a contest for a free game that will actually draw the name for the winner just before we do our October 11th podcast. Why don't you clue everybody in on what the contest is,
Ellie? Okay, so our contest is going to be for everyone who has listened to our podcast. And right here on our website, we'd like them to leave some kind of meaningful comment about the show, some suggestions, how we could get better, what you'd like to see, some kind of...
I don't think they're seeing anything on the show, though.
Yes. Oh, you don't have the enhanced podcast. Sorry.
No, that's a different podcast out there. Real good podcast, but we have nothing enhanced. Genetically or otherwise.
So we'd like you to leave a meaningful comment about the podcast on our website. Everyone who does so is going to get entered into a drawing, and before the next show, we will randomly select someone to receive the prize. And the prize is...
Which would be, drum roll please...
A copy of Infinite City by AEG Games. Now, I had a lot of fun playing this game, me and my kids, and, you know, I think whoever gets it is really going to enjoy it.
So are we talking about a copy of Infinite City that you've played with your family that we're giving away?
No, we're talking about a shrink-wrapped copy.
So you're talking about you're going to shrink-wrap the copy of the game that you played with
exactly.
Your family, and that's what we're sending out?
This machine that I bought has come in so handy for shrink-wrapping, especially for selling stuff on eBay.
You'll love our games. We pre-punch the counters for you.
No, a brand new shrink-wrapped copy of the game will be sent to the winner of the contest.
Brand spanking new. Sir. Well, that sounds pretty easy to win that. All anybody has to do is just leave a comment about the show on the post page for the show.
Yes.
I don't think we could make it easier than that.
Yes.
Well, I believe that is all the time that we have this week. So care to take us out, Elliot?
I sure will. Thanks for listening. The Gaming Gang will be back in 2 weeks with another show. Until then, we hope you'll let us know what you think. Please visit the website at www.thegaminggang.com and leave a comment, or send an email to Jeff Bacalier at thegaminggang.com or Elliot Miller at thegaminggang.com. We hope you'll come back and visit us again. So until then, we hope you keep the bugs off your glasses and the birds off your tail. Now we gone. Bye-bye.
What? That's how we're ending
Come
the
on,
show.
It's Convoy, C.W. McCall.
Yeah, I know. Well, everybody, thanks for taking time out to give a listen. We'll come up with the tagline next time, I promise. So for Elliot Miller, once again, I'm Jeff McAleer. Thanks for listening.
So you're going to talk about the RoboKill Rally.
RoboKill Rally? I'm not familiar with that game.
Sorry.
That must be something you ran across over on the gaming dink.
I'm thinking Robo
right.
Rally.
It's Roadkill Rally.
Yes, Roadkill Rally from Z-Man Games.
Should we try that one again?
Sure. So you were going to talk about... Oh, God. Okay.
All right, let's take a sip of something there. Next on the Gaming Dink, we have RoboKill Rally. From Manzy Games.
I'm Manzy.